All right. Welcome. Welcome to the chapel. If I hadn't a chance to say hi to you guys, hi, I'm Pastor Bill. So this morning, I opened up a brand new bag of coffee, and on the labels, this big words is like complex and bold and hearty. I'm feeling very complex, bold, and hearty, and so are you for showing up on a day like today with the roads and everything. So way to be bold. So those of you who are worshiping online, you guys are wimps, but we love you, and we're glad you're here. I'm Pastor Bill at the chapel. So we've been working through the book of Ephesians, and that's where we're going to be heading again. So let's stand for the invocation and our opening music. So we begin under the name. It's like under the banner. God's name just fills this room, fills our hearts. In the name of our Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the simplicity of that song. And we thank you, Lord, also for the danger of that song. Lead me to the cross. Bend my knee and rid me of myself. Lord, those are dangerous prayers. Those are prayers of substance. But Lord, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would lead us to the cross, that you would rid us of ourselves, and that you would bend our knee, because we know that your death on the cross and your resurrection is the mark of your love for us. And that's what defines our life. Give us hope in that definition, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So this is Community Service Sunday, and some of us will be going to the Help Center and dusting, and we'll be inside, so that's a good thing. But the message is very brief, so we're going to have a brief message, and then we'll have lunch, we'll pack up our stuff, and we'll go to the Help Center, unless they cancel on us at the last minute, which is my phone is right over there, so if they cancel. So we're in the book of Ephesians, so if you brought your Bible, we're in chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 23. We're working through this on Wednesday nights as well, and it's just a way for us to get into God's Word together, okay? So I'm going to start off with a little bit of a story. Here's a picture of Frederick von Boldelschwing, senior and junior. Senior started a series of hospitals and care facilities all throughout Germany in the late 1800s. And they cared for people who had physical and mental disabilities. And this thing grew and grew and grew. And by the 1940s, there were 14 different cities that had these places, and Bethel, Germany was one of the largest. It became kind of like a little bit of Rochester, you know, the Mayo Clinic. So anyway, by the 1940s, Hitler's full on the scene, and he's threatening to shut these places down. He orders them shut down because he's executing the people that Boldelschwing is trying to care for. The threats never get acted on because the local officials were too afraid to actually shut them down. But in the midst of this, right around 1940, the person who you may know of, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, visits Bethel, Germany, and he says this, and this is the part of it that I really want you to capture, that these hospitals, these care facilities are this, a little fairy tale landscape of God's grace. They're little fairy tale landscapes of God's grace. Compared to the ugliness and the wrath of Adolf Hitler and all that he was trying to do, these little pockets, these little hospitals and care facilities were fairy tale landscapes of God's grace. And I just love that. When I heard that, I go, that's exactly what's going on in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a city of incredible wealth and diversity. And this baby church is made up of people who were, there's no reason why they should love each other. There's no reason why they should hang together. There were slave owners and slaves. There were Greeks. There were Mesopotamians. There were Romans. There were Jews. There were non-Jews. These people were like the most diverse kind of church that you could ever imagine. And yet, because of their center and their focus on who Christ was and what Christ had done for them, they became this little fairy tale landscape of God's grace. And we're going to see that in this prayer. So in Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23, Paul is praying for this baby church. Now, he's in prison at this time in Rome, okay? Verse 15, for this reason, in other words, if you look back on verses 14, for their focus on Christ, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And we're going to get to that. He prays for four things for this baby church. But he points out a couple things here. He's in prison. We don't know how long. A lot of people think up to a couple years. And he's gotten word about their faith. Now, when I think of faith, I think of a bunch of ideas that I believe in. But you need to know this. Biblical faith is more than just what happens inside my head, okay? Biblical faith is actually hanging on to something. It's something that you cling on to, you grab onto, okay? So he's heard about them just hanging on to Jesus. And it had to have been difficult. Some of them have lost their jobs. Maybe they would have lost their families. Some of them would have lost their status in society as a Jesus follower, but they're hanging on to Jesus. And then he uses the word love. And we often think of word love as an emotional-driven word. But biblical love primarily is a commitment to action, an action for the well-being of others. Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he's praying for them. He's like, you know what? When I'm here in prison, I am so jacked up because I'm hearing about your faith, your commitment to hang on to something, and your love, your action for one another. And then he says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Now, when I read this, what strikes me is that how much we need each other as a family of Jesus followers. Paul is encouraged by watching them cling to Jesus. And I think the same way is true for us. When I watch you love the guys in your fraternity, I'm encouraged by that. When I watch you wrestle with a roommate who's a real stinker, I use that word quite a bit, a stinker, and you're just choosing to love that person, I'm encouraged by that. You know, we're encouraged. That's the thing about the church is that we're meant to encourage each other in the faith. Even as we do something like community service Sunday, something as simple as this, watching other believers do something meaningful for someone else, especially for the underprivileged, I'm encouraged by that. We say this, that your faith is very personal, but it's not private. Your faith is personal, but it's not private. We're meant to be in this together. And that's what I think is happening for Paul. As he's sitting in prison, he's hearing this report that these people have faith and they have love. I can't stop giving thanks for you. You know. And then he gives this prayer, and there's really four prayers, okay? Whenever you read a prayer in the Bible, go slow and make sure you take careful attention because you're getting inside Paul's brain. This is what Paul is thinking about. Is he's kind of wasting away. He's an older guy. He's in prison. He doesn't know what his future holds, but he has a joyful heart. This is the source of that joy, right? So here's this prayer. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, we talked about that word glory last week, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul is praying that this baby church would have a new quality of insight of God's presence. A new quality of insight of God's presence. He doesn't mention anything in these four prayers about their circumstances. And if he knew that they had faith and love for one another, he probably knew that, you know, Edna broke her hip and Joe lost his job. He probably knew details about this baby church's circumstances. But instead of praying for their circumstances, which is fine to pray for, what he prays for is that they have insight, wisdom, and revelation through their circumstances. And I think this is really, really key. This is such a key thing. Because I know about you, but like for me, I have these goggles in my life, these glasses in my life. And I look at my life through these goggles, and these goggles are my circumstances. And when things are going well, you know, I look at life as things are going well. But what Paul is saying is change your circumstance goggles for the presence of God goggles. So in other words, if you are sitting here and you are heartbroken, and you had your heart set on a relationship and it just fell apart, and you are heartbroken, I know it's hard to not just look at like, oh my gosh, I'm heartbroken. But what Paul is calling us to do is like, all right, Lord, where are you revealing yourself? Where are you guiding? Where are you leading me? Where are you growing, maturing me? Where are you revealing yourself to me through these circumstances? That's what Paul is praying for, wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. The quality of insight of God's presence, regardless of the circumstances. Look how the prayer goes on in verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. My heart has the ability to see things? Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, being opened up, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. Your eyes actually get to see something that's really materialist, hope. Here's hope. If you're writing this down, I think this is worth writing down. Hope is this, that your present circumstances do not determine the meaning of your life. That's hope. Your present circumstances do not determine the meaning of your life. Hope. I hope that your heart actually gets to see that your present circumstances do not get to determine the meaning of your life. I mean, here we are. We're believers in Jesus. So we believe that in the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that God is in the business of making dead things become life. That's hope. So on a real level, we've got to at least, as Jesus followers, be open to the fact that right now, my life may really suck. It may really suck. But Jesus, the one who I follow, is the one who takes dead things and makes them alive. And so I live in the hope that however he works this out, it's going to get worked out. That's hope. My present circumstances do not determine the meaning of my life. Look at what he goes on to say. So he goes on to the third part of this prayer. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? So the word his is referring to God. So you are the rich inheritance. You are his rich inheritance in the saints. The third thing Paul is praying for this church is this. Wake up, okay? Wake up to your privilege and your calling. You are a holy one. Wake up to your privilege and your calling. He's praying that this baby church wakes up to their privilege and calling. They are a bunch of nobodies. Okay? And yet at the same time, we say this often, you are the daughter of a great king. You are the son of a great king. That the rich inheritance that God has for you and for giving you is yours in Christ Jesus. And that's what we spent last week really, really kind of nailing down. If you didn't get to hear it, look on it online. But this idea of what is our inheritance in the saints. And it's a rich inheritance. It's not something that's, you know, like, just barely get by kind of thing. Now look at the fourth thing that he prays, verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? So there's an immeasurable greatness of his power. There's power towards us who believe. So when God comes towards us, he comes up with this immeasurable power towards me, according to the working of his great might. All right? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, a lot of Bible talk, a lot of Bible kind of words there, a lot of Bible words there. But Paul is praying this fourth thing for this baby church. Open your eyes to the immeasurable great power towards us who believe. And then he describes this power. So we're kind of suspicious of power. You know, I think that in our day, it's like if a person has power, it's like how are they going to leverage that to their own benefit? But it's kind of like when Paul goes on to this whole thing about this power thing, he goes on to it like it's kind of for me, it's a ShamWow commercial. Have you ever seen a ShamWow commercial? This cloth, it's a ShamWow cloth. And then the guy's on this, and he's on a boat, and he's rubbing this boat down, getting all the water off. And then, but wait. And then there's like five but waits. But wait. It can also be used for your car. But wait. You know, if you order right now, you get two. But wait. But wait. But wait. And so this text reads to me a little bit like a ShamWow commercial. There's this incredible great power that is ours in Christ. And then he goes on to this. Jesus is seated at the right hand. He's far above rule. He has power, dominion. He has every name of this age. He's put all things under his feet. He's head over all things for the benefit of the church. And so there's this great power that's yours. And everything, so here's the thing. So everything that Jesus accomplished is yours. The power that he has is yours. All things that Christ has accomplished for you, forgiveness, salvation, life is yours. Jesus is using his great power directly for your benefit. So, all right, I feel powerless at times. I feel overwhelmed at times. I'm super anxious at times. I'm really lost at times. I have a hard time sleeping at times. You know, all of the things we go through, now it's like, time out, Bill. Time out, Phoebe. Time out, church. Time out, baby church. Wait a minute. The true reality, the full reality of my life in Christ is that I actually have access to this great power. And so, all right, what does it mean to tap into that, to trust into that, to realize into that? And ultimately it boils down to that this great power, as he points it to the resurrection, is that Jesus Christ is in the habit of making dead things alive, broken things repaired, fractured things whole. That's what I think is this fairy tale landscape of God's grace, is that things will work out in God's plan and timing for his purposes. And it's his power that's going to accomplish it. So here's this fairy tale landscape I'm inviting you to live into. It's a landscape of these key words that we picked up in this little prayer. It's a landscape of faith. It's a landscape of love, and it's hope. It's a landscape of that you are a treasured possession, and that you already possess the power of Christ who rose from the grave for you. So part of applying this to our lives is sort of, I want you to walk away with something to stick, right? Something to stick. We call it setting aside. And we didn't hand out the cards, so I guess I forgot to do that. So we're going to do this mentally. Normally we have a card on each, and you write it out, and then you kind of take it with you, and you put it in your wallet. But we're not going to do that today. We're going to just do it in our head. Here's the thing. Jesus, you have the power to reverse, and then there's this blank. Fill in the death moment, some kind of death moment in your life. If I'm convinced that Christ rose for me from the grave and forgives me, Christ, you have the power. You have the power to reverse this. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe there's some area of your life that you just really seem to be stuck in. Or maybe it's an area of your own, you're telling things in your brain about yourself that aren't true, you know? You're defeating your identity because you think of yourself as less than or incapable of. And there's an area where you're just simply believing a lie about yourself. So I want to close off with prayer, let you guys think about that. Lord Jesus, I'm clinging to you in faith and hope that the present thoughts of the realities of my world, they're broken, these death moments, that they are not the real me. That you have the power to reverse these, and I know that because you died for me on the cross. So that kind of thing, all right? So I'm going to leave off with a time of silence, and then, you know, go to the Holy Spirit. What is your death moment that Jesus can reverse? And then I'll close off in prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray that you would make this baby church a fairy tale landscape of your grace. We pray that you would give us a durable faith, rugged hope, dependable love, that we would live with one eye on all of your promises, so that we know, whatever our circumstances, it's not the final word. It's not the true us. The true us is hidden in Christ. The true us is raised in Christ. The true us is spoken of at the right hand of the Father in Christ. The true us is the Christ who will come, who will return, and who will make us whole, and who will bring us home. That's the true us. And so we pray for this fairy tale landscape of your grace in our own heart, in this church, on this campus. Lord, make us mindful of the things that we think are just us. Areas where we're stuck, lies that we're telling ourselves, things that just we want to change deep down, but we've tried and yet we just don't see anything happening. Lord, you're the one that creates change. You're the one that makes dead things, dead moments, dead thoughts come alive. And so we cling to you, Lord Jesus, our Savior. It's in your name we pray, as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand for the blessing in our closing song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.